If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
David Houle is one of my favorite guests. He's such a smart guy. I'm surprised he still speaks to me. David is someone who in the last 10 years or so has delivered more than 1,000 presentations and keynotes on six continents and 16 countries. He's regularly invited to speak at corporate management retreats. They refer to him as the CEO's futurist, because he advises thousands of business owners, and he's with us this morning to talk about what's ahead for us. Hi, David.
How you doing? How you doing, Bob?
Well, as good as can be expected. How about you?
I'm fine. As a futurist, my mind's just getting overwhelmed every day. I don't know if we have enough time, but this is a really incredible time, an incredible moment, and I hope I can provide some high-level perspective to your listeners.
Well, let's try. First, you've posted something about legacy thinking. Talk about that and what that was and what that will be going forward.
Yeah, so legacy thinking is really thoughts from the past. A real simple way to think about that is, you know, if you're over the age of 40, you've spent the majority of your life in the 20th century. So that's when your thoughts were framed. So we've kind of come into this century and come into this moment, come into this decade with thoughts from the past, which is one of the reasons that we're seemingly totally unprepared for what is happening, because it hasn't happened before. So it's one of the complaints I've always had, you know, that the federal government should have a chief futurist, right? Because nobody talks about where we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, I've been speaking on the future about 15 years, and one of the most consistent questions I get, certainly from CEOs, is what about pandemics? So for the last 15 years, I've been thinking about it, and you know, even Bill Gates in 2015 did a TED talk saying, you know, the next thing that's going to kill a lot of us is going to be pandemics. So it's been known out there. People have been thinking out there. So the legacy thinking is just, we don't need to do anything until we have to react to something.
This book that you're working on, is that out yet? The 2020s, the most disruptive decade in history. If it's not out yet, and you started writing that a long time ago, what did you know that none of us did?
Well, I'm writing it now. And the funny thing is, I got up early this morning because I'm working on the final draft, because it'll be published in April, and I hope I can come back and talk to you about it. I printed out this one paragraph that I, knowing I was going to coming on to you, I wanted to read if I could. It takes about a minute.
Sure.
We are not, so quote, we are not future facing or even fully aware of the present to be able to sense the massive changes going on. Our perceptions of these big new occurrences are exceptions to the reality we cling to, not the emerging new reality. We are therefore always behind in reaction mode, in response mode. This is why, as a futurist, I feel both urgency and a need to sound the alarm. And then, to put it in context, you know, the phrase canary in the mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a futurist, I feel I'm a canary in the mine. So alarm, not because this is a sentiment needed, but more a loud ringing alarm that we must, in this moment in history, fully accept that it's perhaps the most critical moment in recorded history, and the canary has died.
Hmm.
So that's the end of legacy thinking.
Talk about what you see as permanent changes in our behavior once we get through this.
Sure. You're an age, you know, I think the world knows that you and I are both aging baby boomers, which means our parents were of the Depression era, right? And so anybody who grew up with a Depression age parent knows how much that impacted them, right? They always saved, very cautious, defensive crouch financially. And I think this, because this is going to go on for a while, the significant damage is not, but the consequences, as you say. So I think there's going to be a whole group, a lot of millennials, that are going to be scarred by this, as they've been scarred by student debt. So I think this is going to have a profound effect on the younger generation, and it's going to reshape. You know, 10 years from now, people will be saying, "God, remember how it all changed with COVID-19?" Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget that. You know, there'll be all that impact. more specifically, you know, think what happens if we end up staying in place a long time. I mean, theaters are closed, restaurants are closed. So instead of, hey, honey, let's go out and have a movie and get something to eat Friday night or Saturday night, you know, you become a really good cook. Son, we stay at home. So why don't you cook dinner and we'll just go on to Netflix? So I think this a higher level is there's really two realities. There's the physical reality and there's the screen reality. And so this is one of the times we're going to test how much society can survive by the screen reality, if you will. I mean, we're communicating more than ever. We're just on screens right now. How you doing? Asking all your friends, right?
Mm-hmm. And economically, what do you see for us in the future?
Well, I mean, the short term, obviously a recession. There's no question. About a month ago, I said that there'd be a $1 trillion loss in the global GDP, which is $85 trillion. I think it's going to be more like 3% of that. There's going to be a contraction globally of at least 3 to 4% in the GDP. And the thing we know that in America, 70% of our GDP is consumer spending. So, you know, just think about that. I mean, that's going to crater probably 50% in the next month or two. So the other thing I think is really going to happen, and I hope that it does from a climate change point of view, is that we realize staying at home, we don't need all the stuff we keep buying, right? So, I mean, consumption is a real problem relative to climate change. And I think we're going to realize, you know, we can walk around our houses and see all the stuff that we bought and not yet consumed or used or worn or read or watched. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be a change in consumption. And on the other hand, it's really going to be interesting to see when the need for a fix of socialization will drive us out in spite of the risk. You know, is that a month down the line? Is that 2 months down the line? Inevitably, that's going to happen. And the real danger is that if the government can't get ahead of this, that's when people will start going a little bit nuts, you know, when they're stir crazy after a month of being staying at home.
Yeah, I've been trying to think of the day we start going back to normal life, whatever that means, because we get sick of each other. We're stuck in the house. It's cabin fever. I know my daughter is already expressing her displeasure with us. And does that mean that when we get through it, when we're out and about again, are we going to want to interact socially more or maybe for a while less because we've been sort of forced to be with our loved ones in the house for so long?
Well, I think the answer to that is demographics. I mean, I wrote a column a few days ago where if it's true that the older people over the age of 50 or 60 are at higher risk, or people with health conditions, then maybe we demographically release the younger people out sooner, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because I know for a fact, you know, that down here in Florida, where there's a lot more older people, they're really paranoid. You know, you probably saw the Mel Brooks and his son's video, which is just fabulous.
Yeah,
right?
We played the audio yesterday.
Yeah, so I mean, that's an example, you know. And so, I think parents with kids, that's really tough because you reference your daughter. You know, as a writer and a reader, I'm taking this time to redeploy. Okay, so I'll write every day. I'll read books, the backlog of books, because nobody is requesting me out and about. I've had speeches canceled, right? So reinvent this disaster and the fear that comes from it at the time of recreation and regeneration. You know, work out, read books, stay healthy, do something, right? You know, I'm sure there'll be stories in about a month of, I read 100 books during the COVID virus, or I watched everything on Netflix, you know?
Right.
and that in itself is going to change behavior, right? If you go back to reading, or if you just consume on streaming, I mean, I think, you know, the movie theaters, that's a 20th century business, right? That's going away ultimately. So,
well, yeah, go ahead, David. I was just going to say we're going to form habits now that are going to continue
exactly right
past the crisis.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, I don't know if one of the continuations of reality is that everybody's got, you know, 50 rolls of toilet paper in their garage. That may be the case. You know?
David Houle, futurist, he has some fascinating posts. How can people read more about all this, David?
Well, two things. One, go to davidhoole.com, and there's a blog. That website's getting redone, so davidhoole.com. And the other thing is, and I'm really into this, and I'm trying to rush it out, is I'm doing a series of books on the 2020s. So go to www.the2020sdecade.com, and you can sign up for notification for when the book comes out. I'll get them to you before they hit the market, but I'm going to do a series of these, because as a futurist, this is the most significant decade in human history. And so this is, you know, the title of the book is The Most Disruptive Decade in History. And look at what the first 3 months have done already of this decade, right?
Yeah, so, well, they don't call you a futurist for nothing. It's David Houle, H-O-U-L-E. David, can't thank you enough for your time. Look forward to talking to you frequently during this time, especially.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, because I'm really trying to, people are coming at me saying, what context do I put this in? And that's what I've been trying to do for people. So happy to be back anytime, and have a great day, and stay healthy.
Yep, you too. Appreciate it, David.